This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you with the last part, or part three, of our message, which is entitled, Those Damn Strongholds, part number three, and our subject scripture. This is for September 2022. The scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 4 and 5, where we find these words recorded. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, when I left off last month in part number two, I said I will show you how these strongholds reach all the way to the highest levels of government. Now, if you have read the first two parts, or listened to the first two parts, you have come to realize how, over the decades, family, friends, associations, and education have influenced you into becoming the individual that you are today. And depending on your choices, you are the sum total of all of these. They are all part of your DNA, so to speak. It is that DNA that guides you in everything you do. And when I say everything, I mean everything. As I mentioned earlier, you, being who you are, make choices as to who to associate with and listen to, among other things. As a result of this, it is only natural, when it comes to who you choose to give power over your life and family to, you will quite naturally choose other individuals who have what you consider your best interests at heart. I doubt very seriously that you would vest this power into someone you were not comfortable with. This is how life works, and that is the way it is supposed to be. So where is the problem? The problem is rooted in your DNA. If the family, friends, associates, and education that helped to make you the man or woman that you are today were corrupted, then, like it or not, you have been corrupted as well. You must remember, when I say family and friends, I am talking about those that are your inner circle, so to speak. The ones you listen to when you need advice on parts of your life that may be troublesome. These are the primary ones you put all your faith and trust in. What they say goes. So, with that being the case, when you're not sure about your choice of who you should put in leadership into your community, their advice helps you make that decision. Remember when I said earlier, birds of a feather flock together? Well, when you pick a leader, you will inevitably pick someone who thinks just like you. In fact, if any one of these individuals, talking about family, friends, or associates, choose to run for some position that gave them control over you, you would gladly support them. Reason being, naturally, because you don't have to worry about having to have somebody in there that's going to come in there and make you feel bad about yourself or who you are or anything else like that. You're going to pick somebody that basically approves of the things that you're doing, and not only approves but helps support you in the things that you do. By the same token, if one of your associates chose to run for the same position, even if they weren't close to you, if they supported what you believe, you would naturally support them. Now, the problem we have is this. All of us like to presume what we believe is the truth. And as such, it is the best course of action to take in circumstances like this, talking about choosing leadership. Consequently, anything or anyone that comes along that shows us that we have been wrong in our decision-making processes is to be rejected outright. And why is this? Because if that is the case, that means not only are you wrong, but all of those family and friends have been wrong as well. And given what the ramifications of these wrong decisions might be, you might be hard pressed to change your way of thinking, to change your DNA, so to speak, on small insignificant things. You might not have that big of a problem of changing your way of thinking. However, when it comes to, when I'm talking about small things, I'm talking about, what types of furniture to buy, kind of house to buy, what kind of cars to buy, or some other things like that. However, as I mentioned, when it comes to control over your life, that is a whole different ball game. So, if you take into consideration the fact that all of us have gone through this same process, then you can see how we have been molded into the individuals that we are. Well, with some of us, this condition has another characteristic, and that is being one that is a leader. Not all of us desire to be in this position. As it is often said, some are leaders and others are followers. Those with the desire to lead do so because they believe that what they have as a foundation is something that, if everyone else were able to grasp what they see as a solution to the problems that we are facing, then everything would come out just fine. So, when they get up and espouse their ideas to others, those that are like-minded will get behind them. This then puts them in the position of leader. The more people that get behind them, the more influential they become. The more influential they become, the more others begin to take notice of them and their ideas and figure how they can get them in the position of taking their message to the city, the state, and even the nation. Thus, we have the makings of a politician. Now, I am not going to go through, go into all the detail of how the political scene goes, but suffice it to say, every politician has gone through the exact same process you have, and like it or not, the fate not only of our lives, but this nation's survival is in the hands of these individuals, many of whom are walking disasters. Now, as I also mentioned earlier, if you will look at the subject verse, the Christian is called on to begin essentially tearing down and ignoring everything in their DNA that goes against what God says. You see, up until such time as you have come to Christ, the major influences on your life and your DNA have been people and a system that for whatever reason have been leading you away from God through Jesus Christ. When you come to Him, talking about Christ, He is to take the place of all of them. He is to be your parent, sibling, educator, doctor, lawyer, and everything else. In short, you will have to get a complete makeover. Your DNA will have to be changed. Jesus puts it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This is what is known as being born again. But, as I said earlier, this is by no means an easy thing to do, especially when it comes to choosing to go against family and friends. Associates and groups might be easier to break away from, but even here, Major problems may arise when you make it appear that they are wrong in their way of thinking. If you really think about it, how did you feel when someone told you that you needed a change in your DNA? That your whole thought process was wrong. You didn't like it, did you? Now, here you are essentially telling all these people that helped make you the person that you are today that they were all wrong. What do you think their response would be? They will most likely go on the attack against you. It could come as verbal, but could be physical. It all depends on the individual. This is where the stronghold of fear comes in. Fear is by far the strongest motivator to keep people from doing something. It also can have the opposite effect in making some people do things that under normal circumstances they wouldn't even think of doing. Excuse me. The main reason for this is because it deals with the unknown. And who is willing to just run off and face the unknown without reservation? Very few. However, if you would look at life's lessons and how it was an unknown to you until your parents and other family members guided you through it, you will see that you had no problem because you trusted them to be there for you if you needed them. That's going into the unknown. You didn't know anything about life. You didn't know anything about growing up, being independent and all that stuff, but your parents showed you step by step how to go to proceed to be the person that you are today. Now, here is Jesus telling you to trust him and do as he directs you, with the assurance that he will always be there for you, but yet you are worried about what family and friends might say, think, or do. There's that damn stronghold again. Well, let's look at it from the other perspective. What will Jesus say, think, or do if you make your decision based on what those others think? Jesus gives us a clear direction when he says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's found again in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37. What he is saying here is, if you are more concerned about what family thinks than what he says, then you have no part in him. The reason being, in order to be in Christ, you have to be willing to get rid of anything that he disapproves of, period. As the Bible puts it, he is holy and righteous. There is no sin or darkness in him. If you go to 1 John, which is back near the book of Revelations, 1 John, chapter number 1 and verse number 5, you'll find this words, these words recorded. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness or sin at all. Notice it says at all. Turn on a light in your house and look at the bulb. Do you see any dark spots in the light coming from the bulb? Of course not. Light and darkness can't occupy the same space at the same time. That is natural law. Yet, far too many Christians want to bring their darkness or sin with them into Christ. That's not going to happen. No one is going to corrupt him. If you go back and look at the life of Christ, you will see time and again how the devil and religious folk, basically religious leaders, tried to corrupt him, and he rejected them all. Now, here is the disturbing part. Today, we have preachers that are painting a picture of Christ as being exactly that. As a result, many souls are now in hell because some blind or corrupt preacher led them to believe that they can be in Christ while still actively operating in darkness. I'm talking about people like the gay community. There's nothing wrong with the fact of a person, I'll get to that in a minute, but basically you can't be actively shacking up with somebody that you're not married to. You can't be in a homosexual or lesbian relationship. You can't be someone who believes that it's okay to discriminate or, you know, being racist or anyone being a thief or murderer or whatever else. If you're still engaged in that activity, you can't be that and be in him. But we'll get on the end of that in a minute. You have heard Christians say that you can come as you are. This term has been used for a long time, as far back as I can remember. And though true, it is meant for all to come to the place where they can be cleansed, as opposed to cleaning themselves up first before coming there to get cleaned up. The only way to be cleansed of sin and darkness is to come to the one that can cleanse you and make you presentable to enter into heaven. So what we have is a misinterpretation of that saying, or of that particular scripture. I'm not going to look that up, but rest assured, because I remember when I was out in the world and people tell me I need to get saved first, well, the first thing I thought about is, well, I'm going to have to stop drinking, I'm going to have to stop smoking, I'm going to have to quit womanizing, I got to quit being a pimp and a hustler and all that and other. Once I do all that, then I'll come to the church. Then they made it clear to me. They said, no, it don't work like that. Hey, you got to come to the church to get the power to be able to break away from those things. Christ has to give you the power to spiritually, in the words, you know, to spiritually get in the position to be able to change your spirit, your way of thinking spiritually, which will, or your DNA, which in turn will give you a change of mind and things like that, where you just have no interest in those things anymore. There is a difference. I hear many people quoting scriptures to justify what they are doing, when actually they have a corrupt interpretation of what that scripture actually means. When I hear people given reasons as to why it is wrong to judge, how we should show the love of Christ, how no one is perfect, how we should be seeking peace with our neighbors and others that appear to give justification to living in darkness, I am listening to spiritual ignorance rooted and grounded in the DNA of those individuals. And it comes from family and friends who got their beliefs from preachers. When it comes to peace, for instance, look at this passage of scripture concerning your family. Now, as I mentioned earlier, everybody talks about how you got to keep peace in the family and this, that, and other, so you got to compromise and doing this and do that. Look at what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34-36. I want you to take heed of this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Now, this is followed by the verse I used earlier about loving father or mother more than Jesus. But you think about this. If Christ is saying that he's come to basically put you at odds with your parents or with your children, he's basically saying if he's doing that where your family is going to be against you and foes and things like that, it's going to break up the family. But yet and still, that's what Jesus said. Now, if he's saying that as far as family is concerned, what do you think he's going to say about you and your friends and your associates and the groups that you are part of? But as I mentioned in part one, parents and friends were not intentionally giving you the wrong information as much as it was they thought it was right, based on who they got it from, which was, in most instances, preachers. With all things being considered, you can see why we have the mess we have in this nation, and especially the black community. All these strongholds, and we need to get rid of any of them that conflict with what Jesus Christ says. Do you need a DNA makeover? Let me tell you this. Time is running out for all of us. Tomorrow, next week, a year or so from now, or maybe the next minute. Who knows? Better get it done now. Tomorrow might be too late. You might be dead tomorrow. Who knows? This is Evangelist George McTyre, hoping that you got something from this message as I close it out today. May God bless you and your families real good.